Daytona International Speedway, redefined everything 30. 30-second stereo radio, HISC 0100.
The Daytona 500. It's the race that defines legends. And as the world's only motorsports stadium, Daytona International Speedway is the place that redefines what a race can be. You can experience it all and witness the next career-defining NASCAR moment at the Great American Race. But hurry, the 2016 race sold out, so don't miss out in 2017. The Daytona 500, Sunday, February 26th. Guarantee your seats at 1-800-PIT-SHOP or Daytona500.com.
Hey folks, Timothy Peters, driver of the number 17 Red Horse Racing Toyota Tundra. You're listening to The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain.
Live from Talladega, you're in The Pit Stop with Tim DeSpain and Stephen Wilson on the Speedway Digest Radio Network, Blog Talk Radio, Stitcher Radio, and your Apple Podcast.
Good evening from Dega Nation. I'm Tim Spain alongside my good friend and CEO of SpeedwayDigest.com, Mr. Stephen Wilson, up in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Before we get everything started, let's bring on Reverend Joe and get the invocation going. Mr. Reverend Joe, the official Reverend of the Pit Stop with Tim Spain and Stephen Wilson. Reverend Joe, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm getting there little by little, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We missed you last week. Just wanted to let you know that John Thornton, our IT guy out there at Coosa Valley Electric, filled in for you, and he said a prayer for you. He told me to tell you hello.
Well, tell him I said thank you very much, and my sentiments exactly. God bless him and all of you. So, you ready to get this party started?
Yes, sir. Crank it up, Reverend.
All right. Lord, we come before you, and we thank you for all you do for all of us. We thank you that we were born in a country that allows us to go do the things we love to do. And we thank you for the safety we've seen so far at Daytona, and we ask you to please bless all the events and all the racing going on all over the country and then throughout the whole rest of this season. Keep all of our racers safe and the fans safe, and everyone else involved all the way around, safe from any problems. Lord, be with us all. Please be with our soldiers all over this world as they protect us and protect others and put their lives in danger. Be with their families at home. Protect them and take care of them. And please, be with our government. Help all of our officials in the higher-up positions that run the things that take care of us every day. Keep them safe, keep them on track, and keep them sharp. We thank you for all that. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, Reverend Joe.
Oh, my God.
Joe, great invocation. Let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website, because I know you do a lot of big things for the our sport of NASCAR, especially out there on the West Coast.
Yes, they can reach me at ontrackwithjesus@aol.com. That's my email address. Our website is ontrackwithjesus.org, and they can call me anytime at 951-232-7630. Always glad to hear from you. You can look us up on Facebook at Rev Joe Bubico. That's B-U-B-B-I-C-O. Follow us there. We post scripture every day to make it easy for you. No excuses not to read your Bible. We thank you.
Exactly. Amen, Reverend Joe. Thank you very much. Tell Miss Betty we said hello and we appreciate you. But have a good evening.
We say thank you. We'll see you later. Right. Talk to you next week.
All right. See you, Reverend Joe. That's Reverend Joe there, Stephen. How's everything going on up there in the Commonwealth of Virginia, bud? We got a big show tonight coming on at a quarter after. We're starting our BK Weekly Racing Report. We got a driver number 23 Toyota for Ron Devine there at BK Racing, Mr. Joey Gason. And coming up at a quarter to the top of the hour, we have a guest change, and we apologize for that. Chip Weil, President of Daytona International Speedway, could not make it, so we have the public relations director, Andrew Booth, coming on. Steven, how's everything going on up there, bud? We got some good weather down here. I mean, even though it's raining, it's warm.
I wish the weather up here would make up its mind. It's been warm one day, cold the next, and then warm and cold all in the same day.
I bet it has, bud. And to let everybody know the number to call in is 215-383-3681. I'm Tim Spain, alongside of SpeedwayDigest.com, Stephen Wilson. Stephen, we had a little bit of action. We finally got some action on the track. We had the ARCA Series, which don't get me the line who won that one because I can't remember. I ain't got enough. But we had the 39th annual Advanced Auto Parts Class. NASCAR finally went back to the class, Stephen. And you talking about some good racing, man. Joe Logano won that one down there this past, it was rained out. We had to run it Sunday morning. But Joe Logano had a fast car. And it was like if you was on the bottom and you stuck to the bottom, if you got up on that outside lane, Stephen, you had to really have some help. And right there toward the end, I don't know how they done it. But, Brad Keselowski stuck his nose in there on the bottom up under Denny, and it just opened everything up. You want to let everybody know about the class? I mean, that's some real good racing, Stephen. I really enjoyed watching that, where Joey Logano won that.
Jimmy Johnson putting Monster Energy car, Kurt Busch in the wall with 16 laps into a 75-lap event. Johnson came down to the track. Johnson has not been good in this clash race. He's wrecked out of the last, I believe there's six of these events now. He would go on. He would only complete 48 of the 75 laps because he would end up spinning out his own self again in pretty much the same area that he spun out and collected Kurt Busch in a single car incident on his own and would wreck his own car, like I said, about 48 laps into the event. But as you were talking about, those Showgubs Racing Toyota, they were able to hook up throughout the majority of the day. And you could tell from what they were doing, they're going to be very, very fast in not only the duels, but they're going to be very, very fast in the Daytona 500. The Penske Fords, as well as the Stuart Haas Racing Fords with that Roush Fenway horsepower under the hood. Those teams are going to – that horsepower, I think, is going to take them to the front because we did see Brad Keselowski coming on there at the end. And if it wouldn't have been for, Keselowski and Hamlin really just dueling it out there at the end, side-drafting off of one another and kind of – Hamlin would spin himself out because Keselowski would go on and finish sixth, allowing Logano, who kind of stuck back just enough that he could get around them when they decided that they were going to collect themselves and go on and win the clash out there. Kyle Busch finishing second Alex Bowman, who was sitting in for Dale Earnhardt Jr., who was in the booth calling the race with Fox Sports this weekend. He finished third. Danica Patrick was, she got a good run out there this weekend for Stuart Haas Racing. She was the fastest one for them in fourth. And Kevin Harvick finishing fifth out there.
Yeah, Stephen, you brought up a good point that I forgot to bring up. Thank you for bringing up the Joe Gibbs Racing Butch. Yeah, they all four teammates, all of them, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Matt Kenseth. Matt Kenseth never was really spoke about, but Matt had a fast car this past weekend, too, down there at Daytona. And Daniel Suarez, the rookie, whenever they got out there in front, they stuck to the bottom. They stayed bumper to bumper, and that – I think that might be one thing that kept that outside line from you know, coming up, Stephen. I mean, I don't know how that air really works. You know, the experts take care of that in the wind tunnel. But, I mean, it looked like – and when you brought up about Jimmy Johnson coming off of four, he spun Kurt Busch out, and then he spun out himself. I mean, just like you said, the same place he did a few years ago or whenever it was, but – it's like when a car comes up, I don't know if it's coming off the corner, but it seemed like coming off the corner in four there at Daytona. Coming out, it just takes the air off of it. I don't know how the airflow goes over there, Stephen, but, I mean, that was really weird, wasn't it? I mean, talk to me.
Yeah, it's really the transition between turn four and where it goes into the trial out there, because it really does go between – the banking out there on turns to a little bit flat to a little bit and back into a bank in that turn. So the transition, it transitions three different times right there between turn four and the trial. So I think it's a lot of the transitioning there. Plus, when you're in there in the pack, the air is already disturbed as it is. They cut down, on these low profile spoilers on the back of the cars. So that, that's really not helped, somebody like Jimmy Johnson, who's not had the best of luck in these events as it is. Like I said, he's crashed out of these events. I believe it's like now counting this year, the last six of these. So, it's really not been an event that he's done very good at. Daytona's not been, and restricted paint racing hasn't been kind to him in general. A lot of these events have ended exactly this way for him. I think it's a lot of to do with the transitions out there. I think it not only just jumps out and bites him, but it jumps out and bites a lot of different drivers, because we really do see in that area where there are a fair few amount of drivers that do come through that transition area off turn four through that flat and then back into the tri-over area, especially when they're running in the pack, get some single car, maybe even two cars are involved. Not really two big ones out there, but, it has, we'll see one or two out there that'll typically spin themselves and get into the inside wall or run to the infield out there in the trial.
And, Stephen, you brought up another good point about the Stuart Haas Racing Bunch here going to the Fords this year. I mean, that was a last-minute deal, I'm pretty sure. Everybody there had to really work their butts off. And you and I had the privilege of having Motor Racing Network's Kyle Ricci on last Tuesday night. And either you or I won asking the question about when do we think that we're going to see a Stuart Haas Racing Ford in victory lane? And, Kyle said that was a good question. And, Stephen, I want to get your take on Clint Borg. You and I, we've talked to Clint at racetracks here in Yonder. I mean, he's an awesome guy, a really good guy to talk to. And he looked like he had a blast this past. I mean, he was fast in one of the practices, Stephen. And I got to think you might have to watch out for Clint Borg, because he is in a really good mood being in some competitive equipment.
Yeah, he really is. And he was really fast qualifying too. You take a look at – excuse me. You take a look at him, he was fourth fastest in qualifying, in Daytona 500 qualifying. He's going to line up on the outside of the duel two, right beside Dale Earnhardt Jr. So he has, and that team, really, really going to, I think they're going to put a lot of things together this year. Last year, we kept hearing, you know, it was kind of a throwaway for him. And, you know, A. Scott Motorsports was, you know, not exactly funded to the best of their abilities. It, they didn't have the technical aspects and technical alliances there to put together a team such as this caliber. But you see Clint already coming into Daytona, and we see what he's already starting to do with that number 14 team and Tony Stewart's old crew chief out there. You know, they're going to be very, very fast. You know, traditionally Ford has been very fast at restricted plate races. Roush Yates engines and Doug Yates and all that crew over there, they build some of the best engines and the best horsepower there is when it comes to restricted plate racing. They have a long lineage of that and building the horsepower there. Bill Elliott, you know, track, you know, has the qualifying record out there at Daytona. He also holds the record there in Talladega. So, you know, there's a lot of Ford horsepower that has powered these drivers, not only to victory lane, but to, you know, track records. And I think, you know, with them moving over, it's going to be a little bit of a shift for them. We heard Danica Patrick this past weekend talking where she got out there in the first practice, and there was a noticeable difference to her already between the Chevrolets and the Fords and how she had to get used to the throttle responses in the car. So I think they're already starting to see some of these differences in what they're going to have to learn over at Stewart Haas Racing. But I would suspect that the learning curve is not going to be is going to be short-lived.
I think so too, Steven. And let's go ahead and kick off our first evening. Weekly BK Racing Report. We have driver of the number 23 Toyota for Mr. Ron Devine and BK Racing, Mr. Joey Gates. Let's bring him into pit stop. Tim Spain and Steven Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Come on in the house, Joey. How you doing, bud?
Doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much for taking time. You're kicking off the year-long deal with the BK Racing Report.
Yeah, I'm happy to be on. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Thank you very much for taking time, Joey. And I want to call you a veteran driver in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. Now you've moved up the cup with Mr. Ron Devine there in BK Racing. And can you talk a little bit about how this deal went down? Have you and Ron and BK Racing been talking a little bit prior to we got the press release?
Yeah, we have been, and the deal all really started with Best Home Furnishings. I met those guys actually about a year from today, actually at the last year's Daytona 500, and they're huge race fans, and they come to the Daytona 500 every year, and they said it was their dream to always be on a car. And I said, well, it was always my dream to be in the Daytona 500. So we're able to help each other out. And Ron saw what I was able to do on the Xfinity side at the super speedways, and one thing led to another, and we've been able to make it all work now. So it's pretty incredible that we're now here and in the midst of the Daytona 500.
Exactly, Joe. Congratulations again. And you are guaranteed a spot in the 59th annual Daytona 500 because you are in that car with a charter. So you will definitely start the 59th annual Daytona 500. How does that feel, Joey? I mean, just to be able to start, I mean, to race in the Daytona 500.
Yeah, it's a pretty surreal feeling, that's for sure. You can't believe it's actually happening. 9 years ago, I was down here for the 500 as a fan and just in the fan zone thinking, man, this is so cool. And I was just, I just felt so lucky just to be there as a fan and with all the history going on. And now actually being able to race in it and looking back to that is, it's pretty amazing, that's for sure.
And, Joey, you also race in NASCAR Xfinity Series, driving the number 52 for Jimmy Means Racing, the Donate for Life deal. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think you are still running the full season in the Xfinity Series, correct?
Yep, that's correct. We'll be going back full-time with Jimmy in the Xfinity Series. So this weekend here in Daytona will be very busy for us doing double duty, that's for sure.
I bet it will. And, Joey, can you talk a little bit about, we've had drivers on that have, you know, we've had you on back in the past, and we appreciate you taking time out again, like I said, 40,000 times. But, Joey, can you talk a little bit about and sort of tell our listeners how, what is the difference in the Xfinity car versus the Cup car? You know, y'all have had practices. You run qualifying laps this past weekend down there. And far as the aero, Steven and I, we were talking about that earlier when we were watching the class. It seemed like the bottom groove is where you wanted to be. And Steven brought up a good point about the Joe Gibbs Racing Bunch. They all lined up, all four right there. But can you talk a little bit about the aero far as the Xfinity Series car and the Cup car, and how much difference does either or drive?
Yeah, well, I'm still learning the Cup cars. We haven't been able to do any drafting practice yet, but I will be doing that. We'll be doing that Thursday, but I can tell you right now that the Cup cars definitely cut through the air a lot more. So the draft is big, but it definitely works differently than it does in Xfinity cars that have at least used to have much bigger spoilers on them and a little more boxier. So they definitely drive that are different, and the Xfinity cars drive a little bit better normally. But everything's a little bit different this year. The Cup and Xfinity cars have a little less horsepower, which means the draft will be a little bit bigger now on the Cup side, and now with the Xfinity side as well, they're going to a smaller spoiler, so they may drive closer to the same here, and we'll find out here quickly.
Enjoy my final question before I hand you over to SpeedwayDigest.com, Stephen Wilson. In the duels, if you which all of our fans, I'm pretty sure, know that Corey LaJoie signed also with BK Racing. In the duels, if it comes down to you helping Corey, which I'm pretty sure you would as a teammate, would you help Corey make the 59th run of the Daytona 500?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's something we've been talking about, how not only me helping him, but him able to help me too. And like you said, he has to race his way in to get in the 500, so that's something we're definitely gonna try to help make happen. So hopefully he doesn't need my help, but if needed, we're definitely going to be there to try to help him get in.
Sounds awesome, Joey. And again, thank you very much for taking time out to come on the Pit Stop with Tim Spain, Stephen Wilson. And like I said earlier, this is the first week of the weekly BK Racing Report. So I'll be getting with Delana. We'll probably have Corey. And the way Delana and Ron talk, they want to have engineers, tire changers. So, and I'm pretty sure this is not going to be the last time that we talk. But, Joey, thank you again very much, and I'm going to throw you over to Steve.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Joey, appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight. The question came up earlier this weekend, especially in the duels, that a lot of these drivers, potentially because of the way that their charter system works, many of them will probably race and use this as a drafting practice, but, you know, there's going to be the drivers like you that are at the back that will have the potential to help your teammate. How much do you put yourself out on the line out there, especially in a car that, you know, you're not wanting to really tear up too much or potentially put yourself in a situation to tear up going into the Daytona 500?
It's definitely going to be a big balancing act, that's for sure. We're just going to have to see how everything plays out and how Corey's doing, and also there are those 10 bonus points too for the team too if you win it, or bonus points if you just get in the top 10. So it'll be a big balancing act, and seeing how everyone's mood is, and everyone will be excited to be out there for the first race and pretty pumped up after sitting around all winter. So it'll be interesting on how everything is, and being underneath the lights too also normally gets people a little more pumped up too. So we'll just have to play it by ear and just see what happens. It's so hard to guess or estimate what happens. So we're just going to have to wait and see what happens.
The duels this weekend, you know, it's a fairly short race out there. How much do you plan to learn within the duels while, you know, potentially, you know, going back to the question of going and potentially helping Corey getting into the race because he does have to get by Reed Sorensen, who starts in 19, or, you know, potentially going out there and putting yourself into something which has the potential in these events. I know you say that you haven't done any drafting practice yet, and this will probably be your first introduction into it in a cup car at a place like Daytona in these cars. So how much do you use this, and how much do you learn from it?
I'm going to be learning a lot and trying to learn as much as I can. We'll have a little bit of drafting practice earlier that day before the duels, and the duels will definitely be the first time with that many cars out there at one time. So I will definitely be trying to learn as much as I can for the 500, and I'm sure that'll be the most I will learn before we get into the race.
Strategy-wise for the Daytona 500, now that NASCAR has gone to a stage-based system, you've got to worry about 125, 250 miles in a 500-mile race now. Where do you think now is the difference between running a straight-on 500-mile endurance race?
Well, now it's I can't tell you everything I know or what we think will happen, but it's definitely going to add a bunch more strategy in it and a bunch of different game plans now with it being like that and with the bonus points and just, you know, you're going to have cautions at that point. It's a deal where if you want to try to go for the bonus points, you got to go for it, or if you're trying to win the race overall, you can maybe do some different things on pit road, and if you just want to make sure you survive and you're there at the end, you may be able to hang back a little bit more and not worry about being in a huge draft because you know that caution's going to come out sooner or later. So it's going to be very interesting how it's going to play out, but that's all about I can say on it right now.
Outside of Daytona, what do you have planned for the rest of the year for BK Racing, if you know right now?
Right now, for sure, I'll be racing with BK again with the Best Home Furnishings on the car at Kentucky in July and the Bristol Night Race in August. So I'll be doing a bunch of different tracks, which is cool, and variety of tracks, and getting more experience on tracks that I've never been at before. So that'll be very cool, and really looking forward to being in Kentucky, which is right next to Best Home Furnishings headquarters, and the Bristol Night Race, that's obviously one of the biggest races throughout the year as well. And another dream of mine, the race in that race too, under the lights with 160,000 people watching the Olympic Bowl. So it's definitely looking forward to it.
Joey, I appreciate you taking time to come on here tonight. That's locking the doors and the Daytona 500 this weekend with your first start out there.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for having me on, guys.
You're welcome, Joey. Steven, Joey Logano, Joey Logano, where am I? Joey Gase there. BK Racing. He's got his shot now, which, you know, he's in the Xfinity Series with veteran Jimmy Means there, also running that full-time season. But that's a young man there that I think he really appreciates the position he's in. He ain't forgot where he come from, Steven.
It's taken him a little bit of time to get up here into this series. He's got a shot this year, and it's you know, especially a big shot going into the Daytona 500. Many people don't get this opportunity, especially with a charter locking yourself in. You know, there's other veteran drivers out there that have already locked themselves in that don't have a charter. And, you know, his teammate right now, Corey LaJoie, is going to have to work himself up in the first school unit. We'll have to see how all that plays out. But, you know, he's going to have to get past Reed Sorensen starting in 19th. Yeah.
Steven, if I can, let's go ahead and take a short break before we have Public Relations Director from Daytona International Speedway, Mr. Andrew Booth, come on. I'm Tim DeSpain, live in Dega Nation alongside SpeedwayDigest.com's Mr. Steven Wilson up in the Commonwealth of Virginia. We will be right back after this short break.
Spring, a time of boundless promise. The winds of change fill the air as hope blossoms boldly on the branch. And NASCAR rumbles into town.
Catch the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500, the Redeye 250, and the Active Pest Control 200 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Be here March 4th and 5th for the promise of a new season. Sunday tickets start at just $39, and all kids' tickets are just $10. Visit amsracetix.com.
Of Vegas, the thrill of NASCAR, the fastest weekend of the season is heading back to the most exciting city in the world when the 2017 Cobalt 400 returns to Las Vegas March 10th through 12th. With NASCAR's top stars in Vegas, reserve your weekend tickets now, 800-644-4444 or lvms.com. NASCAR in Vegas, the hands that can't lose.
Live from Dega Nation, I'm Timmy Spain, alongside SpeedwayDigest.com's Mr. Stephen Wilson up in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Stephen, coming up here at a quarter till, we've got Public Relations Director for Daytona International Speedway, Mr. Andrew Booth. Let's talk a little bit about qualifying, Stephen. We set the front row for the 59th running of the Daytona 500. And you and I, neither one saw this coming. We got an all Hendrick front row with Chase Elliott and Dale Earnhardt Jr. You know, I know you had mentioned Penske, and I had mentioned the 14 of Clint Bowyer, but I never saw this coming. I don't know if they're sandbagging or not, Stephen.
I don't know. I mean, they, you know, Keselowski was very fast. Bowyer was fast. I thought it was going to be an all Ford front row there for a while, but then, you know, the two Hendrick cars in third year in a row, and number 24 sent there on the pole. Second year in a row, Chase is set on the pole. You know, so, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr., he's going to set on the outside. So, you know, we're, it's interesting that, you know, they've got an all Hendrick front row yet again this year. And I think they're going to be, it's going to be incredibly tough to get past that number 88, because anybody that's sitting there in the field, I think Brad Keselowski will easily out-duel Chase Elliott. But between Keselowski, who obviously learned a lot of his speedway racing from Dale Jr., I think those two will duel it out most of the day. But getting back to your point, you know, those two Hendrick drivers sitting out there, I think it's, you know, it really is something to see them out there.
And, Stephen, you know, Dale Jr. coming off of his concussion protocol, you know, he finally got cleared. I think it was back in December, correct me if I'm wrong or anything, but, you know, he got married. He finally married Amy. And to hear him talk, he seems like he's in a really good mood. And for him to come out after he has set out this many races and put the number 88 Hendrick Chevrolet on the outside of row one, Stephen, just your thoughts on how do you think his confidence is really, really up? I mean, he seems like since he's got married, and he seems like he feels a lot better, but it, you know, like you and I see all the social media posts, we listen to SiriusXM NASCAR Channel 90, and a lot of people are talking about this Daytona 500 is going to be a big test for Dale Jr. I don't think it's going to be a big test. I think he's ready to go. I think he feels good. He feels good about life. And, again, he's on the outside of the front row for the 500.
Well, I think, sure, I think he feels good about life, and I think he's ready to get back in that race car. And I'm sure as a race car driver, that's all you want to do is get in that race car. You know, but it's really a tough call. You know, we can sit in armchair quarterback this thing all day long. He's been cleared not only by NASCAR. He went and did a test at Darlington Raceway because, you know, he said he wanted to do a test before NASCAR cleared him. NASCAR allowed that test to happen. He was cleared by his doctors. He was cleared by NASCAR's medical team. You know, he has been very forthcoming throughout this entire process. The entire process. I mean, he's very, as you continue to say, very upbeat about everything going on. And you go out there and you see what he did about putting this car on the outside pole. I think what we really have to continue looking at is how he progresses throughout the season. This is just one race, and Daytona has been traditionally, you know, good for him. I mean, he wrecked a car there, but, you know, he's been traditionally fairly good at restricted place races over the years. He has a lot of wins. He has a lot of top fives, poles, et cetera, out there. So we have to really just be watching how he does over the first third half season and see how that progression starts to take a toll on him. If he continues to stay upbeat, if he continues to stay on the same track, or if he starts to decline at any point. I think that's really where, you know, the grind of the schedule starts taking place and where we will start seeing the difference.
And also, Stephen, just to touch a little bit more on your point about Dale Jr., you know, just like you said, he's really good at Daytona. He's really good here at Dega. He's really good at these plate tracks. Dale Jr. is getting up in age, and I want to ask you this. With him getting up in age, do you think it is getting He needs to win a championship. And we all know to get into the NASCAR Hall of Fame, it seems like, I don't know if you have to win a championship or not. I think, you know, that's going to be up to the voting panel. But like I said, Dale Jr. is getting up in age. Do you think he is at the point in time of his life that he needs to make something happen and win a Winston Cup championship either this year or next year?
You know, it's...
I'm sorry, I said Winston Cup, Stephen. Let me correct myself. I'm sorry. I thought you was going... When I said it, I was, oh, Lord. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Okay, thank you, Stephen.
No, you know, I don't think... You know, I think this is really up to him. And there's a lot of things out of his control at the same time. You know, Martin is probably one of the best drivers came on that track and came up short nearly a half dozen, four times or so in second place, winning a championship, and probably one of the greatest drivers that never won and should have won a championship, yet
exactly.
He's in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. So, you know, if Dale Jr. doesn't win a championship, I think he has to be I think he has to take an attitude similar to what we heard out of Carl Edwards and say, you know, I'm happy with what I've done in my career. I've won a lot. I've done this. I've won the Daytona 500 multiple times. I've, you know, done so many different things. I've influenced a lot of people. I've changed the sport. You know, all the things that he's come in and did for the sport in general. I think that he really has to, you know, if he doesn't win this, I think he has to take the attitude of Carl Edwards to say, I'm happy with the way everything has gone. And I think he really is at this point in his life. You're right, he is getting up in age. He's around the same age as Jimmy Johnson. Both of them are going to, at some point, win. I don't know. I don't know when either one of them decides they're going to retire from the sport. But you've got to start making the consideration at some point, I would think.
I would too, Stephen. And just to change the subject a little bit before we have Andrew Booth come on. You and I both got the press release from Daytona International Speedway. Chip Weil, president of Daytona International Speedway, was named to the Sports Business Journal's coveted 40 under 40. Stephen, you know, that's a big thing there, which I know we promoted Chip Weil coming on tonight. He couldn't make it because he had a prior engagement, which he was going to come on, but we've got Andrew coming on. Just to quote something out of the press release that I got, quoting Chip Weil, this is an incredible honor, said Weil. I've been so blessed in my career thus far being surrounded by talented professionals who share the same passion and admiration for motorsports. As president of Daytona International Speedway, I am fortunate to work with a remarkable team, both at the Speedway and ISC, which is International Speedway Corporation, who have a passion and dedication for creating unparalleled experiences for our guests. It's their handwork that makes the world's only motorsports stadium the most fan-friendly, hands-on experience in all of sports. Steve, I mean, that's a pretty big accomplishment there for Chip Weil.
Well, you know, Chip has been around for a long time in the sport, and for what a lot of people don't know is that he started his career off working for, you know, in what is now the Camping World Truck Series. He did a lot of things prior to that, and, you know, he was at Darlington Raceway for a while before he was named as the president of Daytona. You know, he has a long time in the sport, but he's done so much in a short amount of time. You know, to be at the pinnacle of, you know, the president of Daytona, I mean, that's quite an accomplishment for anybody, really, to say that you're the president of Daytona International Speedway.
Yeah, exactly. And, Stephen, is there any breaking news? You know, I've been hard at it today, and I hadn't had time to really look at my email stuff. But before we bring Andrew on here, is any breaking news that come out? I hadn't really checked everything. Anything you want to share?
No, we're starting to kick a lot of this stuff off of this weekend at Speed Week. Speed Weeks will kick off on Thursday. So, you know, these today and tomorrow really is kind of a down day for most of these drivers, most of these teams. They don't really have a whole lot going on. So, not a whole lot really to share as of right now.
Okay. I know I seen something. Let me go back to my email, Steven. I know B.J. McLeod. I did see that earlier whenever I got home. B.J. McLeod, they're going to field a they're fielding three cars in the Xfinity Series race at Daytona. Am I correct, Steven? I did see that, I think.
Yeah, I did see that B.J. McLeod is going to put three cars in this weekend. And, you know, one of the things that I have to say is that over the last 2 years, in not only the Xfinity Series but the Camping World Truck Series, is that we're starting to see more and more development. I mean, more and more investment, and that brings on another thing. There is a new truck series team, Nice Motorsports, just announced today that they're going to put TJ Bell behind the wheel. I did forget about this. I saw this. They're also coming into the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, starting at Daytona for 12 to 15 races this year, and are planning a full season in 2018. So we're starting to see more and more investment in both of those series, and I think a lot of that has to do with the way that NASCAR has started, limiting other drivers coming into the series and allowing some of these other teams more time and more allowing them to kind of be the stars of the series, and that really is good for them.
Yeah, and I did not see that. But, yeah, going back to the B.J. McLeod Motorsports, you know, like I said, they're going to field three cars in the Xfinity Series. And I think 21-year-old, I think he's 21 years old, Clint King, he raced the ARCA Series this past weekend at Daytona. And then I think they're also getting I think David Starr, and I think maybe Jeff Green also. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't want to throw you on the spot, Steve.
Yeah, I don't remember three drivers right off the top of my head, but, you know, that is quite an investment to get three teams, especially in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, to come there today for them.
Okay. And, Steve, let's go ahead and bring on Public Relations Director at Daytona International Speedway, Mr. Andrew Booth, in the pit stop with Timmy Spain and Stephen Wilson.
Let's get ready to rumble!
How y'all doing,
Andrew,
today?
Doing good, Andrew. How you doing, bud? Thank you very much for taking time out to come on. We really appreciate it.
Not a problem at all. We're doing good down here, ready to go racing here in a couple days.
Oh, we are too, Andrew. We just can't wait, myself here in Talladega and Stephen up there in Richmond. Andrew, I'm going to go ahead and let SpeedwayDigest.com, Stephen Wilson, have you first, and I might have a couple questions there at the end. But, again, thank you very much for taking time out to come on our show. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Not a problem.
Andrew, appreciate you taking the time to come on here tonight. First question I have for you is the second year. Last year, you just finished your renovation down there. $500 million as the first motorsports stadium in America or even the world out there. You're coming into the second Daytona 500. How much did you guys learn year over year to bring new experiences to the fans this year in the Daytona 500 and Speed Weeks?
Oh, absolutely, Stephen. We learned quite a bit about how that stadium ran last year and different areas we could tweak and improve. And we've even, there's still been some, the fans will still notice some improvements when they come back this year. Namely, we have a final founding partner, our fifth founding partner, Exalta, that will begin their partnership with the center injector. We didn't have that last year, so fans should make sure to stop by that center injector. They'll see some a lot of the Exalta engagement that they're going to have there. And even year over year, like Toyota has made some tweaks and some updates and some new features inside their Toyota injector, and so have a lot of the other founding partners. So, but there's also a lot that we've learned just from flow, fans coming in, fans going out, restrooms, communications, a lot of different things that we learned that you know, to make the experience even better. But last year was a great opening for us. It was historic, the world's only motorsports stadium, a $400 million renovation. And these fans were able to experience new, wider, more comfortable seats, spacious concourses, elevators, escalators, Wi-Fi throughout the concourse, more restrooms, more concessions, and some great great engagement throughout the 0.9-mile long stadium and all the seats that we have there. And then to top it all off, they got the closest finish in Daytona 500 history. So it was a pretty incredible day, and we're looking forward to seeing another one this year.
Unfortunately, you guys Saturday night didn't get the clash in under the lights and had to run it on Saturday. Sunday morning, excuse me.
Yeah.
You know, traditionally, the clash was always run during the day. Any consideration after hearing some people talking about really liking it under the day?
Well, I'll tell you, it was a great race on Sunday, late morning, great finish and really quality stuff going out there. We definitely heard some of the drivers' comments, and like we do with every event, we always look back, talk to all the different stakeholders in the sport, and we'll evaluate and take a look at things moving forward. But it was certainly something we noticed, and we'll just have to see.
This weekend, you've got the 59th running of the Daytona 500 with two Hendrick cars sitting on the front row, the 24 for the third time in a row, second time for Chase Elliott, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. making his return after sitting out a partial season in 2016. How much of it does it mean to Daytona to have a row like that to set the 59th running of the Daytona 500, and how much does it mean to Daytona in the motorsports world to have somebody like Dale Jr. return back to the sport at Daytona for the 500?
Well, I'll tell you, Dale Earnhardt Jr. has a very special fan base here at Daytona. If you guys have been here, and I'm sure a lot of fans will notice it, when he takes the lead here at Daytona, you know it. You can hear it throughout the entire stadium, the roar of the crowd. So strong fan base. It's very important for us to have him back here. Couldn't think of a better place for him to come back than at the Daytona 500 and Daytona National Speedway, where he's had so much success with two Daytona 500s in 2004 and 2014. Really excited about what happened on Sunday. Two great racing names, the Elliotts, the Earnhardts, on the front row for the Daytona 500. And in the way it works at Daytona, you win that pole on Sunday, and the attention is on that front row pretty much through Thursday and even beyond. So it creates great buzz, definitely keeps people getting even more excited about having Dale back on the track and having Dale back healthy as well. So all around, a great Sunday for qualifying. And it was also really cool just to see the history that was accomplished. You know, the third consecutive year, the number 24 car on the pole. Alan Gustafson, he was a local crew chief here from Daytona Beach, went to high school and college here, and to have Dale Jr. on the pole, just a win all the way around for us, that's for sure.
And as you guys look forward to the duels on Thursday night, first duel going to kick off just after 7 o'clock, the second duel right around 9 o'clock approximately. What is your predictions, and what should the fans look forward to for the duels on Thursday?
Well, I think it's going to be a more aggressive duel than we've probably seen in years past, but I think a lot of it will be what you saw on Sunday, that's for sure. But I think with the addition of points now in the duel, I think that's going to elevate the intensity. The top 10 in each duel will get awarded points that could go toward a championship. So before, they were just racing to finalize their starting spot in the Daytona 500. Now there's quite a bit more on the line, points. And I think that we're going to see a different type of aggressiveness style out there come Thursday. I think the players, though, will be very similar to what you saw at the Clash, at the Advanced Auto Parts Clash with Brad Keselowski and Denny Hamlin. You saw the Gibbs cars and all the Fords were very strong. But come Thursday, we'll see. They'll have a few more teammates out there, so I think we'll get a better look at the way things are going to shape up for Sunday.
Andrew, I appreciate it. I'm going to throw you back over to Tim. Best of luck throughout the rest of Speed Weeks. I appreciate you taking the time tonight.
Not a problem, Steve. My pleasure.
Thanks, Stephen. Andrew, just want to get a little quick thought about, you know, NASCAR has changed the formats. We're going to do sort of like heat racing. We're going to do the one, two, and then the final race there, the final segment there at the end. Do you think this is going to really make racing better? I really do. I mean, you know, because you're going to have to race, and just like you mentioned, you're going to have points for each segment. And do you think it's really going to – I mean, I think it's going to do a great job there at Daytona, just like as well here at my home track, Dega. Can I get your thoughts on that?
Well, I think absolutely. Certainly at Daytona, Talladega, you're going to see that. I think that at a plate track, you're not going to be riding around the back anymore just turning laps on lap 20 or lap 40. I think you're going to want yourself in position because you have a chance to win or earn points at that end of that first stage at lap 60. So I think overall, the entire 200 laps is going to have better – let me see here, better content for the race fan that's sitting in the seats or watching on TV. It's going to create two additional winning moments, two additional moments where points are going to get awarded. And I think it's going to bring a lot more strategy into the game. It's going to make the racing a lot tougher. I think the drivers are going to race a lot more aggressive, just like I was talking about with the duel. And it's going to set up, hopefully, for a great finish in the Daytona 500. And I think just overall, the product of the entire day, of the entire race, is going to improve with this change. It's going to get drivers not just racing every race to get a win and try to make the chase. Now they'll be racing every lap, every 60 laps, trying to get those points and get that edge and build their way toward a championship. I definitely think it's going to make things better.
I do too, Andrew. And my final question, I don't want to keep you too long because I know you're busy. Y'all got a big week going on. But I want to get your thoughts on Chip Weil. He got he was named the Sports Business Journal's coveted 40 under 40, and I read off a little bit about his quote earlier. Would you like to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, Chip's been fantastic to work with. He's been here, I guess he was named about last April, May, when he was named president here at the Speedway, but really didn't get started till July because we were still going through the transition. But he's done great things in Darlington with the NASCAR throwback, and I've known him personally for, gosh, close to 15, 16 years. You know, he's very passionate. He's got a lot of energy, like a lot of track presidents here at Daytona have, and that's a good thing to have, good quality. Both of them are good qualities to have that typically bring a lot of good results to this facility. And, you know, what an opportunity for him to be able to be a president of both Darlington, NASCAR's oldest racetrack, and Daytona, what I could say is NASCAR's most prestigious place. So looking forward to working with him. I know he's very excited about being able to be a part of this first Daytona 500, and we're excited to have him on the team here.
And Andrew, again, I said earlier, thank you very much for taking time out to come on our show. We want to let you let our listeners know, tell everybody where they can get tickets, let everybody know whatever you want to talk about Daytona, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media.
Yeah, sure thing. We're on Twitter at DIS Updates. But most importantly, I mean, tickets are still available for the Daytona 500. We did sell out Tuesday of last year heading into the Daytona 500, so we are inching toward that way. But there is still time if fans want to come out to the Daytona 500 or really any of our events during Speed Weeks, beginning with Thursday in the Can-Am Duel, the Next Air Energy Resources 250, and the Power Shares QQQ 300. So 1-800-PIT-SHOP or Daytona500.com.
Andrew, thank you very much. We look forward to seeing the 59th annual Daytona 500 this Sunday, and we thank you very much for taking time out to come on the show, and good luck. Take care. Be safe, and y'all have a great time down there in Daytona.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. That was Public Relations Director for Daytona National Speedway, Stephen, Mr. Andrew Booth. Okay. We're coming up here on – we're right at the top of the hour. Stephen, I hadn't seen any emails. I know we got – have you got it up? Oh, I'm on the wrong computer. We got to read off – before we leave, we got to read off – have you got the schedule?
Yeah.
Are you
– I do.
Okay, go ahead, Stephen. Read it off. You got a bunch to read off.
Yeah. There is a ton of stuff going on this weekend at Daytona International Speedway.
Starting Thursday, right?
Yeah, we're gonna start Thursday. There's nothing going on tomorrow at all. Wednesday is again an off day. But starting on Thursday, there is going to be NASCAR Camping World Truck Series practice. There's going to be some Monster Energy Series practice throughout the day. So I'm not going to name all of that stuff off because there's just so much of that going on throughout the weekend. So I'm going to try and get as much as I can.
It is.
Thursday night, Thursday night, however, we're going to kick off Speed Week, or the remainder of Speed Week, the second week of Speed Week at Daytona, with the Can-Am duels at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the first duel to set the inside row at Daytona for the 59th annual running of the Daytona 500. Will be at 7 o'clock, as I said, 60 laps, 150 miles, to be immediately followed at around 9 p.m. Eastern Time to set the outside row, same 60 laps, 150 miles for the outside row for those guys. Going on over to Friday, we've got NASCAR Camping World Truck Series qualifying at 4:30 p.m. with the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Xterra 250, 7:30. That'll be on Fox Sports 1, 100 laps, 250 miles for those guys to kick the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series off. Then on Saturday, we've got NASCAR Xfinity Series qualifying. That'll be at 10:30 a.m. To be followed at 3:30 p.m. NASCAR Xfinity Series Power Shares QQQ 300, 120 laps, 300 miles for those guys. And on Sunday, the 59th annual running of the Daytona 500, the Great American Race, 2 p.m. on Fox, 200 laps, 500 miles. And this year, it will be in three segments. 125 laps will be the first segment, 125 miles, 250 miles, and 500 miles to complete the Daytona 500 for the 59th annual running of that event at Daytona.
Okay. Take a breath, Stephen. That was a bunch. Take a breath. Sit there on the side. Just let everybody know, next week, I think, Stephen, you have the night off. And next week, I have we're still going to run the BK Racing Week, the BK Weekly Racing Report, and we will post on social media who we have coming on. I'm hoping I can get Corey LaJoy or whoever Delana Parker wants to get. And we also have at 7:45 Eastern Time, President of Atlanta Motor Speedway, Mr. Ed Clark, he will be coming on. And I'm still waiting to hear back from Public Relations Director Russell Branham on Grant Lynch. We're going to bring Grant Lynch on this next Tuesday night because the following Saturday is the Wild Game Cook-Off. And Suzanne and I chose not to go to the Atlanta race this year, and I hate it because we've been in the past 3 years. She won't go to the Wild Game Cook-Off, so we're not going to make it over there. But now that I let you have a breath, Stephen, let everybody know where they can follow you at on social media and your website and follow for the 59th running of the Daytona 500.
Well, you can follow us at Speedway Digest on Twitter, Facebook.com/Speedway Digest, and SpeedwayDigest.com. Caleb Whistler, Brett Winningham, and myself, we will have all the world. Caleb will be at the track.
Caleb.
Brett Winningham.
I was going to say, don't forget Caleb. He's down there, ain't he?
Yeah, he will be back at the track starting Thursday. Brett Winningham and myself, we will also have coverage throughout the remainder of Speed Week, just as we have. We had to kick the rust off this past weekend with live lap-by-lap coverage of the Clash at Daytona, and we will be back for all three of the weekends of festivities and kicking off the season out there. So a lot of cool things coming. We'll have all the action and ready for you guys this weekend. So follow us and read whatever we put up. So
Stephen, I want to send thanks out to Mr. Joe Gase, driver of the number 23 Holmes Furnishing there, BK Racing Toyota, for taking time to come out. I want to thank Mr. Andrew Booth, Public Relations Director for Daytona International Speedway, for also calling in. And y'all tune in next week. Follow Speedway Digest. And just let everybody know, SpeedwayDigest.com and also SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com website. You can go there, listen to all the archive shows. And, Stephen, thanks again. Tell AM and the boys we said hello. And you have a good next Tuesday night off and cover the race weekend, and I will talk to you Tuesday week, bud. See you, man.
See you.
All right.
spring, a time of boundless promise. The winds of change fill the air as hope blossoms boldly on the branch. And NASCAR rumbles into town. Catch the Folds of Honor Quick Trip 500, the Red Eye 250, and the Active Pest Control 200 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. Be here March 4th and 5th for the promise of a new season. Sunday tickets start at just $39, and all kids' tickets are just $10. Visit AMSRaceTix.com.
The bright lights of Vegas. The thrill of NASCAR. The fastest weekend of the season is heading back to the most exciting city in the world when the 2017 Cobalt 400 returns to Las Vegas March 10th through 12th. With NASCAR's top stars in Vegas. Reserve your weekend tickets now, 800-644-4444 or lvms.com. NASCAR in Vegas, the hand that can't lose.